Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Welcome to your show, Dr. Paula Price.
Ha ha!
It is
Let
Thursday.
Me come in, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought I'd, you know, invite you on in. It is Thursday, April 18th. It's April already. It's the middle of April. Now we're on the second half. And I'll tell you what, God is on the move and devils are mad because storms are kicking up. But a breakthrough is on the horizon.
And I want you to know, I think the breakthrough is for all God's people. So I'm excited about that. It's wonderful that you let me be the first caller today. I appreciate that.
You know what, Dr. Price? I aim to please.
Well, I tell you what, for all of you all who are calling from Tulsa, we're glad we braved those storms. Well, I imagine they're also all around Oklahoma. I know I woke up at the wee hours of this morning with all kinds of sounds and movements, but isn't it good to know that Jesus got us in the palm of his hand? I am glad to be here today. You know, I was thinking, Ashley, we're talking yesterday, was it? A couple of days ago, about how people who come into Christ from their jobs and from their careers, and especially from successful careers and not just jobs they hate, how they somehow in the church talk them into dumbing down everything. And so today I want to welcome all of you on my Thursday, because you know I love Thursdays. I love calling and talking with you all. I love hearing your calls. And we're working on, this is exciting, we're working on extending the time. So as of May, we'll be having more callers. So today we're going to test it. We're going to add a few more callers because, you know, I know I can shorten what I say, but you don't call me to make you, you know, in the stack. You call because you want to hear God answer you. I try to answer you as thoroughly as possible, whether that's a prayer, whether that's counsel, advice, prophecy, whatever it is. So we're going to extend the time. Beginning May, we will be able to take a lot more callers, and I know you're excited about that. But let me get back to what I was saying, because I think that that's a good place to start today. So we were talking, and I often say it is amazing when you see when I meet people who go to church, and they go to churches that teach them the ABCs of Scripture, like you can't read it, and you know, 1, 2, 3, or people who can't even tolerate the word because, well, they've been talked out of it. Most of us, most of the people I meet have been talked out of thinking God is important or thinking God is worth the effort or thinking God is smart. I mean, it's very difficult today. You know, there are many more people who think that the devil is smarter than Christ because of the representation of his body. And so I've come across folks who, you know, we're talking about people with doctors, people with doctor practices, MDs and you know, PhDs and all of that, people who are head of corporations who built companies from the ground up. I've talked to people who are in significant positions in other companies, and when they get saved, they come over, they're ready to bring that excellence to God, they're ready to bring standards to God and all of that. The church talks them out of it. And, you know, and I've had people literally call folks and tell people they're bound with an intellectual devil. I don't even know what that's all about. One day we'll find out. Maybe one of you all could Facebook me and tell me what the definition of that is, because I can't figure it out. So you're telling me that to join Christ we need to be dumb, to join Christ we need to be sloppy, so we want to give the world better than we give Jesus Christ. And so, I mean, without fail, around the world, we have this thing that if God is interested in your spirit, he's not interested in your mind. God is interested in your feelings and your thoughts about him. He's not interested in your intelligence. And I'm thinking, well, if that's the case, man's not going to get a thing done. We'll all be sitting on a beach somewhere enjoying the blue ocean or whatever while the rest of the world goes off into the hands of darkness. Oops, that is what happened, isn't it? We just laid back and we spiritualized ourselves right out of the decision-making, right out of the educational system, right out of every system that Jesus Christ took 2,000 plus years to bring into his kingdom. And we are letting it, you know, at the beginning we were letting it seep away. Now it's just a plain rush out. I mean, and it's an outrush of the brilliance of God. And so people feel like if they want to use their education, they have to either quit Christ or they have to say, well, if people want to set up something that works, you know, and even try to teach the body of Christ standards. Oh, God doesn't require that. That's not the Lord. God doesn't care about that. Oh, no, God takes me as I am. He doesn't care if I'm right or wrong. God doesn't care if I'm smart. He doesn't care if I finish school and all of those kinds of things. But I tell you today on this Thursday that that's a con. That is a real con. And when you look at Scripture, there's nothing in Scripture that bears that out, not a piece of Scripture. We can go all the way back to Moses in the burning bush, coming from being almost 6 to 8 years shy of finishing his throne training to sit on the throne of Egypt. We can go all the way down to David having been trained by all of those nations for those 17-plus years he was on the run. We can go into Samuel being trained by Eli. Anytime God wants to do anything kingdom and powerful, he needs smart, educated, and experienced people to do it. He needs expertise. And those of you who are out there with big visions that require you to bring your gift and sanctify it for the Holy Ghost to use, hey, be emboldened by this word. This is a great word for you. God wants you to be smart. And you can start telling people, God needs you to be smart. Otherwise, why did he give us wisdom? And why did he put Proverbs in the Bible? And why did he make Solomon super brilliant? Now, he's already brilliant coming up as a prince under David, but he made him super brilliant to impart knowledge and wisdom, to impart the know-how of the eternal kingdom of life into the temporal kingdom of men. And so God wants you all to start thinking differently. Don't let preachers who didn't want to finish school themselves tell you that your education doesn't mean anything, that your training doesn't mean anything, and that your experience doesn't mean anything. Don't let them stand up there and make themselves feel good by making you feel like you got some sort of intellectual superior spirit. Stop that. Don't even buy it. Use what you have. Bring your gifts to God. We don't just need the guy who can fix cars, the person who loves to hand out tracts. Wonderful people. That's great. And if God wants you to start there, do that. But if we're taking kingdom, and if we're going to talk kingdom, and if we're going to move kingdom in this hour, God wants your best, and he wants the best of the best. He wants the top of the top. Many of you, you've gone through trials, and you feel like God doesn't want to use you any longer. I just want to sit in church and get the word. Mm-mm. That is not what God is doing. I'm going to tell you right now, that is not what God is doing. God is betting you for his righteousness, to make sure that when he puts you in that seat of influence and that seat of power and authority, that you will not sell him out, that you will understand the difference between him and the darkness, him and the ways of man, the commandments of Christ and the commandments of men. So you were just being trained. God was just giving you a whole crash course on how they've been doing what they've been doing for ages. And so you're not going to put your intellect on the side. You're not going to park your car and put your brain in the trunk any longer. You're going to go in, and you're going to do what God spent a lot of money and time preparing you and equipping you to do. God needs giants, and giants need a brain, and giants need expertise. So that's my admonishment for today. Those of you who need to go to school, go and finish. You know, if the time is out where I was going to school and then God told me to quit, God won't tell you to quit. God rarely tells you to quit anything that's going to benefit him. Now, he'll tell you to quit messing around. He'll tell you to quit sinning. He'll tell you to quit self-destructing. He'll tell you to quit wasting your time. But he will never tell you to quit anything that he can hallow and use for himself. That will never happen. So if you're on the line today, or if you're getting this later on in a later download, I'm telling you right now, you're hearing from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I need you all to be brilliant, polished, professional, and expert in what you do. I need masters in the kingdom right now. Kings pull the best to it. The closer you're going to work to the king, the smarter and more competent and more experienced you will need to be. That is the rule of God, and it began with God, not with man. So I enjoyed today. How about you, Ashley? Did you like that?
I did, and you know I have something to say, right?
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to let you say something since we're spending the time. We'll let you say something, and then we'll get the people who are on the call. How about that?
Excellent. I always enjoy your exhortations. One of the things you said that really jumped out to me was you kind of flew by it very quickly, but that David got his training through his trial. And a lot of times, especially in Christendom, that's, you know, not popular. I say it's not popular doctrine. It's not even how people sometimes want to view the Word of God, that through those trials, he got his training for the highest calling that he was going to have on the planet, on this side of eternity. And also about not quitting. And how I think if you could just, even for 2 seconds, expound on if God tells you to do something, because, you know, you're a high-level minister, you have a church. How many people have come through saying, God said do this, and then God said do that. God said come here, and then God said leave. Like, how often does that really happen to where God will send somebody somewhere on assignment and then change his mind?
As often as it takes for the person that he sent to get discouraged, to get offended, or to become fatigued, or, worst part, become unwilling to pay the cost for the win. They'd rather bring God a loss than press for the win. And that happens more often than not. And I listen to them. And listen, again, let's go back. Let's go back actually to that rhetoric. Well, you know, if it's hard, it's not God. Who says that? Nobody says that. When you talk about Jesus, talk about, you know, that we must with many trials and temptations or tribulations enter into the kingdom of God. And this man, I mean, you couldn't be any harder than Jesus. Got to get on the cross, die in front of your countrymen, stripped naked, beat to death, thrown in the grave. All right, all because you decided to do something for God. So that doesn't wash, but we've got a lot of doctrinal rhetoric that seduces us out of our inheritance. The more you feel impressed to leave something that God is telling you to do, the closer you are to the breakthrough, and Satan never wants to give up his prizes without a fight. Many of you walked away 30 days too soon. We have a cliche in my ministry to say, okay, well, they just walked out 30 days too soon. And sometimes you leave your calling, your position, your training 30 days too soon. And so you ask how many times does it happen? I will tell you that it happens more often than it has with those who finish and complete. But that is why there's only what? They statistically believe that 100% of the people are ruled by 3% of the population. Okay, 97% of the folks are just not going to pay the cost. But you know what? I don't mind being the top three. How about you?
I'm in it to win it, Dr. Price.
Well, you know, one of the things that God said, and I would say this, that I think is important, and that is that we don't realize that education and training are the guardians against mediocrity and failure.
Oh.
They guard us against mediocrity. They also guard us against inferiority. You cannot say that God is the best God, Jesus is the smartest God, God's the God of excellence, and then we come in with incompetence. That can't wash. If we are going to walk it, talk it, we need to walk it. We're going to need to be excellent. We're going to need to dot our I's, cross our T's, know what we're talking about, and we're going to need to stop getting mad at people who know more than us. And then, our end argument is this. Well, I don't care the Bible says. Well, tell somebody what it says and tell them why it says it and tell them how to use it. Now we know Scripture. Otherwise, we're just having a little recitation party. Okay, I'm ready for the first call, unless, of course, Ashley wanted to do something else. I'm ready for my first call.
No. It is time to press.
It's time to press.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
I love press.
Wonderful. Well, I'm pulling up Monica from Maryland on the line. She's back. She says she would like prayer for discipline in reading her word.
Oh, well, then I would imagine, Monica from Maryland, that my exhortation must have been right on time for you, huh?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And in prayer, too, just spending more time of what's required of me. And I know it is.
Well, one thing I will say to you, Mom, because you're a talented woman, very talented. And when you're talented and things come so easy to you, you always feel like you can do it next time. You can pick it up later. You feel like you can drop the ball and pick it up again and all of those kinds of things because you're talented. But, you know, your brain, like the rest of your body, is a muscle. The more you use it, the more it delivers. The more your will is exercised, the more it delivers. But it does have to start with your will. And I want you to know that God's going to give you a vision of why he needs you to exert yourself more. Because when you've had a lot of disappointments and setbacks, or when you over-expect it from an activity, for example, God will send you someplace and you think it's the open door, the big bang, it, and it's not. It's actually just a part of the training. You expected achievement rewards when God wanted you to just get training, experience, and exposure. And so a lot of us are frustrated with God because what we thought were our conquest was really our training and our tests. And that's what caused us to be disappointed in him, because we expected a greater return. We expected a bigger boom, if you will. And so that happens long enough because we haven't taught you that God trains you. Think of David as that example, Monica. David had to go to different countries, work under different kings. He had to learn how to build a military. He had to learn how to build a priesthood. He had to know how to guard a kingdom. He had to learn how to nourish and supply a population. He had to learn all of that on the run. Apparently, God wanted David to get it firsthand the way he got it, the way he's the Lord had gotten it. So he did not let David just stay under one trainer. He put David under several trainers. Some of them were his enemies. Some of them were his friends. Some were his allies. But when David rose to the throne, because this is where people get confused, when David rose to the throne, people thought that he was just magically endowed by the Holy Ghost, that he went to sleep one night and woke up and it was dispensed. No, it was all of that life experience and that lifetime learning that he gained from surviving himself, from belief to believe God's call that he was going to sit on the throne, from facing off with the enemies in his exile that he was going to have to face off with when he became king, and for gathering the right leaders and training those leaders and testing them and grooming them to be beside him. And all of that was part of his training. And so he needed that training because God wanted him to be able to replicate it throughout his position. But David had to submit. And the number one thing he had to learn is to not quit. Kings can't quit. You know, we like to say we kings and priests, but kings and priests don't quit because the kingdom rides on them. So he couldn't quit. So he had to obey God. He had to stay faithful. He had to read the word he had. He had to live by the Torah and be strategic enough, political enough to know how to adapt it to the situations that he was in. And it was a challenging time. But he had a purpose and a vision. And with you, you have to have a vision. You don't realize how much God is going to use you. You don't realize how much God needs you and how all of those things that you have picked up and put down and that you thought were him and didn't seem to be him were, in fact, part of the process of getting you ready for the thing God's going to call you to do. And so in order to get the wisdom you need, we can fast track you. The Bible is our fast track to what those people lived. It's fast track learning. It's fast track exposure and fast track experience to God. That's what the Bible is. So when you read your scripture, you're going to stop trying to remember verses and figure out who name was this and who was God that. And you're going to start reading it with a new eye, with the eye of one with a destiny and a calling. And when you read it like that, you can't put it down.
Okay.
It becomes a roadmap. And once you can start reading your scripture like that and start seeing it as the roadmap to your destiny, as the life plan for your calling, and understand that those situations in there are not just stories of bygone times, but those are literally human interest stories that are timeless human interest stories that to give us examples and models and whatever, because truth, quiet as it kept in the church, flesh doesn't change, you know? The Bible is not old-fashioned. It's not outdated. People still fornicate. They fornicated back then. They fornicate today. Homosexuality back then. Homosexuality today. Bestiality back then. Bestiality today. Lying, killing, cheating, adultery. It hasn't changed. What has changed is the vessels and the calendar days. Our technology has seduced us into thinking that the way God does things is outdated, but it isn't. And it takes us, his messengers, his witnesses, to let people know, to make that connection. And that's what we're going to do. That's another reason why you want to be a gifted scripture. You can't represent somebody you don't know his thoughts on something. So it's not just, I got to remember my word. I got to learn the mind of God. I got to get God's mind on this.
Amen.
You see, isn't that a different perspective for you? Now, here's the other piece. Once you start getting God's mind and he starts showing you how it fits in your era, in your tenure, in your time, prayer is going to become easy because prayer is talking to God. I mean, by the time he starts enlightening you and mushrooming his wisdom and how he handled the situation and showing you how this situation he handled all those ages ago is repeating itself in your time, and he's giving you the benefit of his wisdom and his know-how, when he starts making all of that plain to you, you're going to talk to him. You're going to be like, because I know I do. When he starts like that, I'm like, wow, God, that is brilliant. Wow, I didn't even see that. Lord, that's amazing. Oh, that is true. Well, God, I'm going to do that. And here's what I'm going to do, God. I'm going to do it like you did. I'm going to start at it, and I'm going to trust you, Holy Spirit, to lead me and guide me how to do it and to help me get it done. I just went from reading to praying, just in my enthusiasm. People with purpose have no problem with learning. The kid that's going to bomb out of school is the kid that's going to school for no reason. That kid that has known that he's going to be a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer, or whatever, you know, whatever it is, that kid, to that kid, reading the textbooks is food. And so I pray for you today, Monica, to get your sense of purpose, that you would understand why God is pushing this on you, that you will get it in your mind that you want to be ready in season and out, that you want to be anointed and appointed, that you want to be educated for the job that you're called, that you want to have the mind of Christ, not just on Sundays for 2 hours a week to understand what the preacher's saying, but the mind of the Christ that's ruling the world. That's why he wants us to read Scripture. If we believe we are a nation of kings and priests, the people who are supposed to be a part of that and take the lead in that don't have a problem with Scripture. And so I'm saying to you, God, I'm asking God for you right now to open up your eyes and to show you who you are in him, to give you your life plan, to lay your life plan out for you, to show you the abilities, the knowledges, the wisdom, and all of that that you will need to replicate who he's making you in the world, and to replicate his son in this world, and to give you his mind. Because when you get his mind, then you can make judgments. Then you're prudent enough to make judgments for him. He can trust you to speak for him. He can trust you to handle situations. God needs us in high seats right now, people. Everybody's on this phone. God needs us in high seats, and you need to pay the price to be there. That price is knowledge and information, not just of the world, but of the God that took over the world. So you're going to get that. God said 6 weeks. I want you to write it down. 6 weeks, you're going to get a mighty visitation from the Holy Ghost. And he's going to tell you who you are, and he's going to make you understand that you are not to approach reading the Bible as somebody who's going to give God 2 spare hours a week. You are going to have to approach it as a potential wielder of his authority in this realm, in this kingdom. Are we clear?
Clear.
Father, I thank you for Monica. I thank you for who she is. I thank you for how she is. I thank you for the brilliance that you've given her. Now I'm asking you, Father God, to unleash a voracious appetite for your truth and wisdom in her, not in the practicalities of it, God, not just theory and theology, but the in-user wisdom that you need when you are being trained by a master. I'm thanking you, God, that she begins to meet you on a different level and a different platform. Shift her mind. I remove every spirit that has been blocking your understanding and causing confusion to come upon you every time you try to handle God's truth. I right now cancel that assignment in your life, and I release your mind to hunger for Jesus Christ and to appreciate him and to think differently about it in Jesus' name. And, Father, we thank you that as she grows in that knowledge, that she also grows in her communion with you and her fellowship with you, because the more you commune, the more you fellowship, the more you pray. So I thank you that you also cause her affections for you to increase, so that prayer is not a chore, but a privilege to sit with the King of Glory. And I thank you for doing it for Monica, because, God, she truly does love you, and she truly does want to get it right. So I praise you for her, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless.
Amen. Hey, Monica, have you taken my assessment?
Yeah, I have.
And so you haven't paid that any attention either, huh? You know, you need to call back for an advisement. So you call the staff, tell them you want to schedule an advisement, talk with the team.
Yeah.
Because we need to get you unstuck.
Right.
All righty?
I am.
Okay. God bless you.
All right. God bless you. Bye.
Bye. Ashley, who's next?
Yes. All right, next on the line is Quentin, and he is calling for direction. Quentin, you're on the line with Dr. Price.
Hi, Quentin. Hi. Where are you calling me from?
Oregon.
Oregon? Is it wet there?
Say again?
Is it wet there?
Yes, yes it is. Very wet, actually.
How can I help you today, Quentin?
Well, I have a lot of things that I'm trying to do, and it's work to be able to do a lot of things, but now I have to sort of pick, and I'm not trying to waste time at all, but at the same time, I'm not sure where I want to go, and so that's basically my main problem with that type of stuff.
All right, so you're another gifted one. I have in my church a and I had him for a while, a number of what I call really brilliant, gifted people. I call them personally my wonder babies. So if you would bear with me and understand that that's an endearing way of saying that you're one of God's future giants, you're another one of the wonder babies of the kingdom. You're the one, you're a prodigy, and you're what God wants to get a lot done with. And so you have amazing abilities. So I'm going to start by asking you a question. What is it, Quentin, that you feel God called you to do or to become? And I want you to give it to me as briefly as you can say it.
I want to be an entertainer. Like, I'm like entertainer, but in the way of but I still want to be true to where I still want to be true to God at the same time as entertaining. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Okay. Now, When you say entertaining, are you talking about drama? Are you talking about music, dance?
I do all of that. I do all of that, but at the same time, I also play sports. And so it's time consuming, both of them. And it's kind of, it's my birthday today. And so, like, you know, I'm not trying to waste any more time and stuff like that. I'm trying to figure out which way I want to go so I can put all my effort toward something.
Okay, so let me help you out with that. First of all, I want to tell you, I don't know if you've done it, but I do have assessments that's going to tell you. And trust me, my assessment picks out the entertainers as well. So because it pulls in people in and out of the church, I want you to go to my website when I'm done with this call with you. We're going to work through this a little bit. But I want you to go to my website after I'm done, and I want you drpaulaprice.com and hit I want to take an assessment. It's very important that you do that because what I'm about to say is going to make better sense to you. So don't forget to do that. drpaulaprice.com, hit I want to take an assessment. Now, let me just tell you this. That, you know, the Bible says that the gifts, plural, and the calling, singular, of God are without repentance. We often pluralize both of them, Quentin. So we often say the gifts and callings, but there's only one calling on your life. So we have to figure out what that calling is. So if you have two competing interests and competing abilities, then one of them is the calling. The other is either a hobby or a support.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind because they can't be equally the same because God is not conflicted. God is not double-minded. God is, I called you to be this, and by the way, you'll go through this gate. For example, he can say to someone, I called you to be an attorney. I love sports. I love helping people with sports or whatever. Then good, I'm going to call you to be a sports attorney. So you need to find out if the secondary thing that you have is meant to be a support to that primary thing. And we will, mm-hmm. you know, we'll talk about that. You'll find that out from the assessment. Because when you're young, we're good at everything. But as you get older, you realize, as you just said, it's your birthday today. By the way, we want to say happy birthday to you. But as you get older, you have to make decisions on what God wants you to do. So the first thing I would tell you is that one of those is fun, and the other one is fulfilling. Now, I can call it for you, but I'm not going to do that because I'm giving you some guidelines because you'll have to make these decisions again and again and again in the future. One is fun. The other is fulfilling.
Okay.
So that means that you're gonna have to sit down and think it through. You know, I can prophesy a lot, but I don't believe in just slinging 30 seconds of word and leaving you to fumble in the dark. I want to leave you with tools. True prophecy comes with wisdom tools. If a prophecy mm-hmm. is truly something God wants you to act on, it's going to be followed up with some tools of wisdom. So you're going to get that. So what you have to decide right now, Quentin, is what's fulfilling and what's fun. When you're having fun, and when you're, what's fulfilling gives you that sense of a gratification for doing something bigger than you and outside of you for someone else. What's fun is a personal gratification. Wow, that refreshes me. You know, that makes me feel, you know, renewed. It charges me up. So that's the difference between the two. So you're going to have to ask yourself, and it may not be a decision that you can make right away. You might need to take a couple of goals with this, like doing something entertaining, you know, working in your art, and then doing the sport thing. But ultimately, you're going to have to make a decision between what's fulfilling and what is fun. And the fun is the secondary one.
Okay.
That's the one that's going to be the support one. Now, you may not see a reason for the secondary one today, but most times your fun thing doesn't make sense until you get into destiny, which is where you're fulfilling the will of God. Because destiny is not about you. Destiny is about God. Mm-hmm. Fun is about you, but destiny is always about what God needs done. It's about God supplying himself with ministers, messengers, and laborers of the future in the now. Destiny is about God supplying his kingdom, and fun is about mm-hmm. you supplying your gratification. So when you think about that, I'm giving you tools. You know, and I mean, I do this in counsel, and believe me, I get this is all fee-based. I don't do this for you guys. I don't charge you for any of this, but I'm telling you, this is what happened. So now we're going to find out your prioritization is going to be based on what's fulfilling, what is fun. And then, and fun usually is a shorter-term gratification. So, wow, that was great. Okay, well, back to work or back to this or whatever. So you want to keep that in mind. The other thing I want to tell you is that you I'm going to ask you a question. I don't want to tell you anything yet, but I want to ask you, are you in training for this?
Training for what?
For any one of these things that you like to do. Are you in training for your entertainment or training for your sports or some mentorship or something like that?
Yes, I'm... I dance. Well, I dance at my school and stuff like that. I'm definitely I have that every single day and stuff. And but the team, the team, they really like. I'm not gonna say need me. I'm not gonna be big headed about it. But like, yeah. So I'm in training for both, really. So.
Okay, but who's are you in professional training? I mean, in other words, are you in peer to peer training or in your you in mentor to mentee training? So you're in peer to peer training.
No. Yeah, I'm in. No, I'm in real classes and stuff like that.
Real classes?
Yes.
Okay. For the arts. You're in classes for the arts, not the sports.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So obviously sports is the fun side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where wherever you're putting your major investment, it's got to be the thing that's calling you, you know? And you're investing, it seems like, a greater part of your time in that. The other thing you said, I want to be true to God. Well, what are you doing to remain true to God? What steps are you taking to ensure that happens?
Not to get too full, like, because sometimes, not only with like the music, I play a few instruments, and I try to even it out with what kind of music I do play, and make sure that it whatever music that isn't completely gratifying God and stuff like that, that I don't get too caught up in it in a way, and always know exactly where I'm trying, what the music is trying to say, and what it's trying to do for people, what I want them to hear from it is not what exactly the music is portraying. Say if the song is talking about, I don't know, it doesn't really have anything to do with the whole God situation, but it does have something to do with how you follow your heart in a way. And so that's the music part of it. And dance,
okay.
I dance at my church and stuff like that.
Okay, stop right there because I'm going to ask you, I want you to think. This is going to be very provocative. So are you looking to represent God in your craft or not to offend God in your craft?
Ooh. Both.
See, that's two mindsets. The one who wants to represent God takes time to know God and to include him in that training and development in more than a casual way. The one who's trying not to offend him is the one that's not going to push people on him and push him on people, but we just want to make nice with everybody, starting with not having a reason for God to pull back his blessings.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to consider that. You're not going to be able to answer me today, but I want you to consider that because you cannot be true to somebody that you don't know, and you don't really know. Every time you say that you want to do something for God, it's about I want them to have, and I give them what I think they should hear, and I give them what I feel. So obviously you and God haven't talked about this. So you don't really have God's mind on your calling. You have God's talent. And so if you're serious about it, because people don't call me unless they're serious, because I'm not going to tell you it's okay to treat them anyway. That's just never going to come out of Paul Price's mouth. So...
Mm-hmm.
If God is a serious factor in your calling and in your destiny, then you're going to need to know God, and you're going to make sure that you are learning his mind and his thoughts on things and not what not to do. You know, the Ten Commandments is only the tip of the iceberg. There are things that God needs you to do. There might be expertise he needs you to get. There might be experts that he needs you to deal with. He might be trainers that he needs you to go with. But you have to understand the why of it. You know, we cannot do it. The worst thing to have is a person that says, I love you dearly and I'm going to give you what I think is best for you. That is frustrating. Wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do to God all the time. God, we love you so much, we're going to do just what we think you need. We're going to give you just what we think is best. God, we love you so much, we're going to figure it out for you, and we'll let you know. You're going to be pleased. You just wait and see. God doesn't need us to surprise him with faithfulness.
Right.
He needs us to be on the same page with him one-on-one. So here's what I'm going to say to you, and I'm going to pray you out of here because I am very proud of you. I'm excited about you, Quentin. I'm excited that there are people like you, young ones coming up in the kingdom like this, who are going to be holding the fort, but I need to know you're going to hold the fort.
All right.
You see
what I
mean? I need to know that. So I'm going to pray, but I want you to understand, A, you need to take that assessment, but more importantly, you need to know Jesus Christ as the person, not the book, not who your preacher talks about on Sunday. Hearing a 20-minute sermon a week is not enough for you to say, I know the mind of God. You know,
right.
You need to get around the masters of God's kingdom and God's thought. And God has masters. I know we don't like to say that because if you're not in leadership, you don't care about it. You know, you realize nobody cares who the top NBA player is except the people who are paying for it and the people who want to be like it. Everybody else is just having fun. So
right.
God has masters, so you need to be around his masters because you're getting into a very volatile industry. That industry is good, and it is superb at turning people from Christ. It is that is job. By the belief system, the values, the attire, the costume, its job is to take God's talent and divert them from him. So you're going to have to be really good at that. And that's not going to be an overnight thing. So I'm going to pray that God gives you some good, masterful people in the king's mind, some good ministers, some good messengers, good trainers, disciples who are going to really disciple all of you to the king, not the religion. I'm not talking about a religion. I'm talking about the mind of Jesus Christ, the will of Christ, the experience and expertise of Christ in this world. Something made this man successful for 2,000 years. We need to figure out what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Something made him take the world in 2,000 years. We need to know what that is. That's what God wants of you because God is going to use you to produce a lot. There are a lot of things on your plate. Your destiny is so pretty and so rich and so full. I could spend an hour talking to you about it. That's how promising your life is. But somebody has to give you guardrails. Somebody's got to give you filters. And that's what I'm praying in your life. Father God, I thank you for Quentin. I thank you for bringing him through another year of success and another year of clarity and definition of his purpose. And I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to give him strong mentors and role models of champions of your kingdom, champions of your faith, champions and vanguards of your truth and your righteousness. I'm asking God that you bring them in, Lord. We're not asking for religious models. We're asking for redeemed models. God, we're not asking for the spiritual. We're asking for the serious. We're asking for the super models that you have, the people who understand what it's like for you to occupy all stations. God, I thank you that even the end that arena that he's in, you're going to cause him to cross paths with the person that's going to see to his success and see to your success through his. God, I thank you for it. I thank you for causing him to get good training, let him get connected with a good prayer group, a good Bible study group, so that he can learn you, not just what he thinks offends you, but know what is offensive to you, not just what he thinks delights you, but he will know firsthand what delights you. God, I thank you for this young one. We cover him with the blood of the Lamb. We protect him, God. On the right and the left, we flank him by the Holy Ghost, but the not only the spirit of righteousness, but the agents and messengers of righteousness and truth. Lord, we give him your mind. We begin to make him susceptible to your thoughts, susceptible to your mind, and receptive of what it is you want him to do. Jesus, we right now put him in your hand, and we pronounce him your next prodigy in this realm, and we give you praise for it, Father. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Don't forget, take that assessment because we want to hear from you. I want to hear from you again.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank
you.
Ashley,
thank
you're
you
welcome.
So much.
You're welcome. Ashley.
Yes, Quentin. Oh, sounds so familiar. It sounds like our life 13 years ago, Dr. Price.
I know. That's why I could counsel him. He probably doesn't know it, but I got all of them. How many of you all did I get at one time? I got a whole group of you all at once.
Oh, yeah. We had a whole crew from college, and a nice group of us were in R and we're in the arts as well. So I definitely
tell
had
what
a flashback moment.
Tell them what your degree is in.
Oh, yeah, Quentin, my degree is in drama, television, and film performance. And so we've been put through the paces by Dr. Price and by the Lord. I think the statement that she made about, what did you say, do you not want to offend God, or do you want to be a representative for God? That's one for the books right there.
you'll keep that for the book of quotes. I wanted you to say that, actually, because sometimes when you're talking to people, my listeners want to know, so where's you getting this? I've lived this. I'm like David. I had to live all of this. Because when God's going to use you very hard, he's going to train you very harsh. That's just how it goes. And so I want him to know that I have a whole bunch of you all that graduated with that degree, and I know the starry eyes, I know the aspirations, I know all of those things that we have to set aright for God to get his investment back.
Yeah.
So
that was good.
What's next?
That was good. What's next is going to be a 90-second quick commercial about our identity package. What you were talking to Quentin about, and I love that we call it our identity package. It is an assessment, but it is to assess to give you your identity and your identity in Christ and in your place in the kingdom. So we're going to take this 90 seconds, and we'll be right back.
Amen.
Would you like to take the guesswork out of discovering your calling and purpose by using one simple tool? PPM Global Resources Ministry Assessment Questionnaire offers a variety of solutions for all aspects of the ministry spectrum for people just like you who are seeking sound wisdom, direction, and guidance to help you get into your place. The Ministry Assessment Questionnaire is specially designed to identify and assess what God has put in you, whether you are called to a fivefold office or ministry gifting. Going beyond a personality test or gift survey, you'll learn about your strengths and weaknesses, emotional intelligence, ministry readiness and reliability, leadership capability, the right education you need, and so much more. Your Ministry Assessment Questionnaire comes with a 30-minute advisement session to review your assessment with one of our trained advisors, who will walk you through your results and customize the best plan of action for you. To get started now, go to ppmglobalresources.com and fill out your personal profile. Assess, advise, apply, achieve. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it.
That's great, and again, that voice is Bethany on your staff, also a graduate with a drama, television, film degree.
Yes.
For the Lord.
Yes, hallelujah. Yeah, I appreciate getting the group of y'all, but you guys were hard that first 5 years, I got to tell you. I could talk about you now because we're on the other side of it. You guys were
but you were hard that first 5 years, too.
here was the hard part. You guys are called to that industry, and you're all prophets. Do you know how difficult that is? Trying to rein that in and balance the two worlds with you guys. That was amazing. But guess what? God got the victory, and that's what we want to multiply throughout the kingdom of Christ. So who is next?
All right. Kimberly, also calling from Oregon. She is next, and she's on the line asking for direction for kingdom, her kingdom purpose.
Okay. Hallelujah. Hi, Kimberly.
Good morning, Dr. Price. So glad to be back again.
I know. It's good to hear your voice. You know, I love your voice. You ought to be an announcing yourself.
Okay, I'm going to write that down. Thank you.
Yeah, we might call you for some of our things here.
Well, that would be an honor, a blessing, and extremely humbling. Thank you.
You're welcome. So what's up with you this week? Because I know you got God on the run this week, right?
Well, last week, you know, I felt as though my question was ambiguous, and I believe this week, in terms of kingdom purpose, from the things that you said last week, they were so affirming, confirming, and yes, and then God continued to reveal himself in above and beyond what I thought would happen. And trying to remove that traditionalism of, okay, you get a word, and what does that mean? And my experience within the last week from the time I've spoken with you up to now has been tremendous.
Wow.
Just tremendous. And God being very direct and speaking to me in the language that how he does with me. I haven't gotten the burning bush, but I now understand the frequency by which he speaks to me.
Amen. So share with me at least one of the things that you got. You can't leave us hanging like that, Kimberly.
Well, one of the things, you know, you spoke about entrepreneurship. And I had an experience with a dental office for my child where I came in. We happened to have been a couple minutes late. We needed to reschedule. No big deal, you would think. But the feedback that I got from the front desk was extremely aggressive and negative. And I was like, wait a minute. You know, one of the things that I do is consult. But I've always not done it from a fee-based purpose. It's always been, oh, well, let me just tell you how to do this. And I decided rather than to formulate a complaint letter or call, rather I was going to give a performance report or an organizational report of how to improve, organizational improvement report for this dental office that would include an assessment of an analysis of what it takes to because you're a business. And if your front desk person, who is your first face, presents themselves in any negative way, that is going to impact your bottom line, which is your revenue. So that is one of the things I said, oh, you know what? I really am going to start up my consulting business. And I'm going to give this one again for free, but I really am going to do it. And at least if it's on paper, I know I have in the past had a fear, false evidence appearing real, of doing something that because I figured it would fail or it wasn't going to come to fruition in what I thought it was going to be about. But you were so freeing last week and letting me know that the things that I thought were burns along the way were really training. And you iterated that again today with Monica from Maryland. I'm like, okay, Lord, that's okay. It's twice now. I get it. I got it. You really don't have to send the word three, you know, on a third go around. I get it.
Oh, that is great news. Can I tell you, I'm excited because that's what I want. I genuinely thought, you said consulting, I kept thinking coaching last week. My mind kept wanting to say, but this is a coaching thing. But
well, so you know, I am a life skills coach, so you work on the coaching.
Okay, because that's what kept calling across in my mind. I said, my goodness, you have that ability. And that's just enough straightforwardness to set folks straight, you know? So
yeah,
you have a certain
I have
straightforwardness,
Dr. Price, that I've been trying to rein in over the last 10, 15 years. Yes, ma'am.
But let me tell you what God said to me. You know, when I started ministry, Kimberly, true story, every time I turned around, people were telling me you're too blunt, you're too direct, you're too sharp. And so I'm thinking they haven't heard sharp because I can go sharp. And so I'm thinking, what are they talking about? And so they got to the point, because see, church is going to kill your gift because they want you to act like people sitting in a pew on Sunday. You have to understand where a lot of our logic is coming from. And so church is not going to counsel you on a real-world environment. They're going to counsel you on a spiritual environment, on a religious climate. And see, when you're trying to make it in the world, those can be mutually exclusive. So I was like, I mean, every time I turned around, this one was mad, that one didn't like it, so-and-so's feelings were hurt. So I was ready to bow out of ministry on more than one occasion. I said, well, God, apparently I don't have the temperament or the psychological makeup for this, so I'm going to move on to something else. And I went to prayer, and the Holy Spirit gave me a passage in Isaiah. I want to say Isaiah 49. But he gave me a passage, and this is what he said. He said, I've made your tongue like a sharp sword. I was like, no joke, Jesus. I thought nobody could have said it better. And I said, well, why? And he said that we would cut the joint of marrow. You realize that a person with a disease or a person with a tumor or something like that, you need a sharp knife. You know, if you want to edge something off, get your paint right, you need something sharp. And the church is used to dealing with dull tools. And remember I say that the church is very accustomed and programmed to dealing with dull tools, particularly the charismatic, the you know, the spiritual church. They're used to, they want dull tools. They don't want to hurt along the way to heal. But you realize that, let's take the dentist, there's a hurt to get to the healing. And so you and I can really understand it. You have that ability to cut just right and to skin just right so that people can get what they need. So I want to find out, how do you want me to pray about your newfound business?
Well, Dr. Price, the continued, you know, again, just that constant relief of the fear that this is not, I'm going to start something again, and it's not going to go where I thought it was going to go. And you discussed it last week, and you know we're leaky vessels, and I've been reminding myself of what you've said all week. I've re-listened and re-listened, and I've had to, because that thing keeps trying to jump up. Well, oh, now you're going to do that. Well, you know what happened before, and constantly battling that down. And I have to tell you, Dr. Price, I shared with my mentors, as I've been reading your book, And literally just this week, I feel like this week has just catapulted me forward just light years. I have over the last 12 years had a fear of dying. I lost my husband 12 years ago, and, you know, obviously genetically we are not related, but somehow I took on this fear that every time something happened, I'm dying. And I have to tell you that fear is gone. It is gone as if somebody has just, you know, God has just come in and just done a house cleaning. And that is, to me, that is probably one of the most amazing things that has happened in this week. Because if anybody understands having been in pain or anything like that, and when you're no longer in pain, how wonderful that is. Well, to have had that cloud over me, literally 12 years now, and to have it gone and to be able to see, I feel like I can see and hear God so much more clear, and yet I know there's more to come. I am just so thankful for you, your ministry, for your walk, for every yes, God, that you have said because of the impact on my life.
Well, and you are the call that makes it work for me and makes me keep saying, boy, I love Thursdays. You know, I love this. It's also why I want to expand it. I want more of you out there like that. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you that the spirit of death that was on your husband has got to be expired. He's extending his assignment beyond what he was supposed to have. And sometimes that has to do with a whole lot of things that I would never address on a call like this. But I want to say to you, your future is bright. You are about to have 18 of the best years of your life. They're going to be ridiculous blessings, ridiculous opportunities, ridiculous favor and breakthrough, because God has a plan for you. And for you, it was all about timing. It was just God getting you to a point where you caught up with the date and the start time of his blessings and provisions for your call. So you hit that. You actually are in what I can call your conversion moment, where you, your endurance, your determination, and your resolve have outlasted your destruction and your debilitation. It's outlasted completely. So you have won. And there are times that you can say to the devil, and I can say to the ones that are stopping you, she's won. She's outlast her time. You've got to go. Your time is up. You are given X amount of time to try this woman. You have failed. She is still with God. She is still believing her Father in heaven. She's still ready to get back up again and get back in it. So you have lost her. Take your licks, and I remand you to the abyss in Jesus' name. And I loose her life.
Yes.
And I loose her heart to serve the Lord. I loose her home to serve the Lord. I give you that courage that you had as a kid back. I bring you back online in your strength. I bring you back online in your courage. I bring you back online in your boldness. And even in that daring that you had to pick up and go after things, I command all of the ghosts of your last several years, your last 12 years, to right now be remanded to the abyss. I loose you. I send into your life. I want you to hear me. I send into your life, by the authority that the Lord has given me, the spirit of enlightenment, of courage, and of prosperity, of ability. I dispatch a whole new staff of angels from the throne of God to see to your fulfillment, and you will obey. And you're not going to talk negative. You're not going to get caught up in that again. You're going to take authority even over your dreams. He's not going to make a soul garbage in you in your sleep, because I shut that down in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you for her prosperity. Now, Lord, we're asking that you would assign her not just spiritual agents of success, but also give her divine connection with your human agents that are called to see to her success. And God, I praise you for doing it. Now, Lord, let the funds come. Let the backers come, and let the funders come, so that she can go forward and achieve that which you have kept her in her right mind for all these years. And God, we give you all the praise, and we give you all the glory. Now listen to me, wonderful woman. We're going to talk, because I told you and I are going to meet soon. But
yes,
this is a wonderful time for you. You're about to have the best, I'm telling you, best 18 years of your life. It's going to be work. Now, you know what God said, roll up your sleeves now, because, you know, answered prayer brings work. He said, roll up your sleeves. And he said to tell you, do your homework. Be diligent in your homework. And he said, and be circumspect about the people that you use to help you build this thing, because Satan often will try to regain entry into our sphere of life through people that we connect with and choose. Make sure you explore, spend time talking to people about their belief systems. The closer they're going to be to you, the more circumspect you want to be about who that person is and who those people are. But make sure you explore that, because God said that you're going to have to guard against folks coming in trying to do that occultist, new agey kind of thing too. You're going to have to know that difference. You're going to have to understand that, because, you know, he's been really good at this. Satan's been really good at deceiving the church into thinking that anything spiritual is equal spirituality. And that's not necessarily true. As a matter of fact, that is emphatically untrue. So you're going to be very careful about it. That's why you've got to learn your word, and you need to get a strong apostle and a strong prophet on your team that they can stay around you. And don't get the faddish ones that just want us to just, you know, be happy. Now, we're not doing that. I want you to get folks who are going to call you on your stuff, who are going to let you know what it is, and people that you will trust to have an access to you that your soul would never give another person. Fair enough?
That is more than fair enough. Absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
That's who you need. And I want to say, you're going to call me back when you get this all set. This is going to be a journey. And if the Lord says so, we're going to walk this together, because you are due. You have hit your moment of convergence, where now the things that you've had to wait for months and years, it's going to be like, yeah, think it, and there it is. Think it, and there it is, because you have outlasted your adversary. And God had to do a lot of purging in your soul. And there's a little more that's going to happen. And so when you go, you're going to go through a little season. I'm just going to tell you about some spiritual experience that you're going to have. You're going to just go through a season of weeping to finally let your husband go, to finally let the reason he died go, because you haven't given up with that, and to finally let your disturbance with God over being, don't have to be back on your own, leave you as well. See, because you got those three ghosts that are pulling on you. So you're going to forgive yourself, you're going to forgive your husband for leaving, you're going to forgive God for letting it happen, and by the time you get through all of that, I promise you, you're going to wake up one morning, you're going to say, man, I feel almost 10 years younger. That's how good it's going to be for you, beautiful.
Well, amen, Dr. Price. You have no idea. Well, yes, you do, and I know you do, but you are not. You are impacting me. You are impacting my family. Quentin is actually my son. You have more callers that will be calling in. So, yes, ma'am.
I love it. I love it. Look at this. You whet my appetite. Now I have to meet the fam. You know how that goes, right? I have to meet the fam. What you're going to do, it's going to be wonderful. So I'm going to move on to my next caller, but
yes,
I always love hearing from you, and I know God has a purpose for us connecting in his divine timing in the future.
Yes, amen. Thank you again, Dr. Price. The Lord bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay,
Well, isn't that something?
Don't you just love Jesus? I love this man. He is the master at what he does.
I mean, I thought it was pretty unusual that we had two callers back-to-back from the same place in Oregon. I was like, okay, well, you know, God is in the mood. He is in a mood. It is the top of the hour. It is noon almost. We're counting down to 12 noon Central Standard Time. So we're going to kick open your opening segment music, and then we're going to go to our next person on the line.
All right. Very good.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Wow. Well, I'm glad now I get to get the 12 o'clock crew. And so we're only going to go to what do we target today? I think 12:30.
Today is the 12:30, so we have 30 more minutes.
Ah, that's good. I can get some more of my beloved people. I'm loving this. I think I'm building a family, and if I'm not, I'm going to start praying for a family because I absolutely love the people of God. I love the way God is working his wonders in our lives. It's exciting to me. And so I just want you all to know, tell your friends, just like Kimberly said, tell your friends and keep calling. And there are other ways. Listen to the end, and they'll tell you other ways of how to get your questions to us. And I want to say to you also, I have a staff of prophets here in Tulsa. They do advisements. You can call up and say, you know what? I want an advisement. Call the office. Tell them you want an advisement. Now, don't hang up. You know, some saints just don't like technology. I'm going to pray for the saints that don't like technology. Okay, Ashley, we're going to throw up a prayer for those saints.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I'm going to say, call, leave a message, say, I want an advisement. You want an advisement for your kids and your teens. We have a prophet here who is amazing with young folk, lives in their world, loves it. You know, and how many of you know kids need prophets too? And we also need to recreate prophets from the young, this generation coming up. So we have a wonderful team. They've been with me. Most of them have been with me over 10 years. They've been through all of the training. They've been through schooling. They've been through the whole bit. And we've been doing this for a while. So, hey, call. You know, don't just wait for Thursdays. Call and say, you know what? I didn't get through on Thursday, but I really would like to get some counsel on this. And depending on your issue, and saints, be brief, you know, be brief. But depending on your issue, you can set up an arrangement, and they're standing by to do this. You need prayer? Hey, call. Say, I need somebody to pray. We have intercessors, well-trained intercessors, and prophetic intercessors, because we're not going to give you those that aren't prophetic, because we need the people to be able to pray God's mind and then pray his voice. So be good to get that. So call in. Don't just wait for Thursday. But by all means, tell everybody on Thursday, listen in, and you know by now you get to go back and hear it again and again and share it with your friends and share it with your mentors and your leaders and all of that, because I am not in this to replace any leader. I'm not in this to replace your mentor or anything. I will tell you how to choose the best of the best if you aim to be the best of the best. If you want to be the rest of the rest or the less of the less, I'm going to work with you wherever you are. That's a 30, 60, 100 fold. We can do that. But I'm not here to replace your leaders. I'm here to just add a new dimension, a fresh dimension of wisdom and insight into the things that God has been doing in your life. You know, Kimberly said something about how it kept working, and the Lord spoke to me and said, you know, calling me is like getting that trip to the doctor and getting that shot. And so immediately you feel relief. But it still works all week long because it goes after the issues for which the word sent. It's Isaiah 55:11, that my word will prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. My word is supposed to work all week long. And if I'm really good, it's going to work all month long. And then after that, it's going to work all year long because that's what God does. We just open up for the master treater to come in and treat your issue. One of the things apostles are known for, if you read Matthew chapter 10, is we're known for performing cures. That word cure, there is therapy. We're known for that. That's biblical. Now, I'm not trying to be your psychological clinician. I think God has wonderful psychological clinicians. I've met some amazing people. So there's no replacement. But if you're talking about coming under the master's hand and coming under the master's wisdom and the master's way of doing things, then, yeah, that's what we do as apostles. And we team up with whatever else God puts on the list. So I wanted to share that, yeah, it's supposed to keep working. And sometimes, some of you, I'll say things, you're like, I don't get it. She was off. Wait 3 months, because I don't get off. Wait 3 months, and the Holy Spirit is going to step up into your life and then say, now, let's deal with that. So I'm having a blast with you all, and I hope you're having a blast with us. Ashley, who's the caller?
You have on the line Betty from Washington, D.C., and she would like prayer for her finances and health.
I know it. Hi, Betty from Washington, D.C. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking. How are you?
I am blessed.
Thank you.
I am so blessed in God, I don't know what to do. I feel like if God gave me wings, I would fly around my city right now. That's how blessed I am. What can I do for you, Betty?
I would like to get a prayer for my finances and my health. And I would like to know my purpose.
Okay. Well, the first thing, you heard me talk about the assessments, right, Betty?
Yes. Yes.
So that's our first answer. You're going to get, when you're done with me, you're going to go to your trusty smartphone or your internet or whatever, and you're going to key in drpaulaprice.com, and when you get there, it's going to say, I want to take an assessment. Now, Betty, what's going to happen is when you take that assessment, you're going to click submit. My assessment center is going to score it. It's going to dump on my administrator's desk. They're going to set up a meeting for you to get a 30-minute consultation, because I'm only going to give you a few minutes, but you're going to get a 30-minute consultation. It's going to help you review your results and to hone in on why God has you on the planet, why he keeps raising you up, and why he keeps breathing his life in your soul.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know that right now. You need to know that more than anything right now.
Yeah.
And so when you get into purpose, one of the things I will tell you, you're going to love this, Betty. I'm sure you're going to love it. Once you get into purpose, here's what happens. Even all of our maladies and our ills and discomforts, they minimize. And you know why? Because the more you're in purpose doing it God's way, the more you are a worthy investment to God. You become indispensable. There are things that pass me by that hit other people because God wants my mouth out there. So he said, well, okay, if you're going to keep doing this for me, I'm going to keep you able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you find out your purpose, my beloved, then make up your mind you're going to do it, because sometimes you need leverage with the Holy Ghost. God needs to have a reason to step out of the norm and to do the abnormal for us. And it's always for his best interest. We haven't been taught that in the church. We've been taught that God is so altruistic, he could care less about himself because he cares way too much about us. God is about being around and getting his thing done. And he knows he gave us eternal life. He knows he's given us his son's blood. He knows we're covered forever. But if we want to endear ourselves to God, we need to give God a harvest and give God fruit.
That's true.
And that's, yeah, you understand. Because he's like, what do I need a bunch of people lording on my planet for? Not in my name. You know, now, there are people he's trying to get saved. Yeah, we're going to deal with that. That's a whole other set of rules. But those of us who know him, God wants us to not loiter in the lobby of the kingdom. He needs us to go out into all the world and give him some fruit. And he's been talking to me all week about, I want my fruit. I want my harvest. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest, that he would send out laborers into his harvest. God wants a harvest. So you're going to get healed if you commit to what God wants you to do and you stop putting him on the back burner. God's going to do something for you. You're going to make yourself indispensable to him. That means that wisdom that you give, you're a woman of sage counsel. You have talked to so many people, it's like not funny. But God's like, I want you to talk to yourself now. And I want you to talk yourself up. Because he says, your gift is in obedience. Your finances are in obedience. Your strength is in obedience. And if you give him what he wants, you're going to be surprised at how God's going to answer your prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
I know it's hard for you to believe it right now because your body is racked with pain. I mean, come on, sis. You've been standing a long time. So I'm going to pray for God to have mercy on you.
Thank
and I'm
going
to pray for him to do something for you to show you that my word is correct in your life. And if you obey him and you don't make this other deal that you made before against God, because, see, the things that disturb the Lord, they're not big things. They're the little things. Why? Because it takes a little button to move a big machine.
Right.
And sometimes we push the little buttons that we think are going to just help us out for the moment, and they actually mushroom into a whole institution that rises up and goes contrary to what he had in mind. And so we're going to get you to flip that right switch this time. Because you're going to have this whole circumstance is going to come back around to you, and you're going to get another opportunity to make a choice. Let's hope you can discern when it comes, and that you flick the right switch this time. Father, thank you for Betty. God, I thank you for her. I thank you for her strength, God. I'm asking that you would have mercy on this woman and give her an opportunity to hear you again, to listen and learn, and God to have the chance to write some of the things that she didn't understand before. God, I'm asking that you would speak to her in knowledge, speak to her on three separate occasions, Lord. I'm asking that you would do it in three different ways that she will know that she has heard from the Lord God of hosts, God Almighty, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God, I'm asking that you point it out. And, Lord, she's bold, so I'm asking you to speak to her boldly. She's frontal. I'm asking you to speak to her frontally. But, God, let her know where you and she are in this matter. And then, God, give her the counsel and instruction the way you have built her to hear you and to learn you so that she knows how to get this thing back on track. And in the meantime, God, as you're doing so, I'm asking that you would breathe the breath of life in her, breathe it in her lungs, breathe it in her blood, God, breathe it in her soul. And we thank you for giving her this opportunity to thank you and praise you and to fulfill her purpose and destiny in you. And God, we'll be careful not to touch your glory and to give you the praise in the future from this day forward in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, stay in touch. Keep me posted because God is going to do what I asked him to do.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Ashley.
Yes.
Do you have another caller for me?
I have another call for you, Dr. Price.
Oh, great. I think I'll take it.
Okay, good. Then Terrell will be happy. This is Terrell calling from Illinois. She is trying to figure out her direction for her business.
Oh, man. Well, hello, Terrell. How are you doing?
I'm good, Apostle. How are you?
I'm great. I am really great. Now, have we met before? You know, I have a lot of friends in Illinois.
We haven't met personally, but I've called her. I called you probably about 3 months ago.
Okay.
And you did tell me that you were going to be in Chicago.
I'm leaving tonight for Chicago. I'll be there tomorrow.
I know. I saw that because you told me then to find out where you were going to be, to come
uh-huh.
give you a hug so you can do some love on me for the situation that I was dealing with at that time.
Okay. So are you going to obey or what?
Yes, ma'am, I am. Now, I want to know something. A sidebar. We just experienced a bad flood last night.
Uh-huh.
So I'm wondering, does the turbulence and everything going on in the air of Illinois have anything to do with God's general coming here this weekend?
You know, people always blame the weather on us. I don't know what that's about. I don't know where that got started. But I tell you what, we're going to make it anyway, you know? Listen, they were trying to tell us that we're going to have stuff going on here in Tulsa. You know, I got a rule. You don't care up my city. So since I'm the sitting authority for this at this level in Christ, you don't do that. So we had some splats. We had some sparks. We had some water. It is now dry as a bone outside. Now,
oh, amen.
We had some upsets around here and there. So, no, we're going to come on in and have a great time. I want to be in Illinois. I absolutely love the people from Illinois, and especially those prophets you guys have there. I just get a kick out of some of them. They're wonderful people. But so don't forget, you're going to look me up. But right now, what am I going to pray about?
I'm in a place where I'm trying to figure out. I had a business. I owned a salon. And I also teach cosmetology. My salon closed down. The rent got too high in the place I was in. But what I'm really focusing on now, I'm trying to regroup and just head in a direction that I know God wants me to be in. I do a lot of stuff with the ministry that I'm involved in, and mm-hmm. I know it takes finances for ministry work. So my thing is I don't want to just open up another salon, and my other thing was to venture off into trying to open up my own school because I did run a school before when I was very young. So I'm more so trying to get the right mindset on which direction to go in because I've been like doing everything that I know to do and then just doing too much of everything just because I can pick up on things real good. So I'm always the one that will help somebody outside with their business or just all over the place. When I first got saved, I was going to school. Before I got saved, I was going to school for law, but I stopped. Then I got into doing hair. Then I got saved, and the hair business, when I got saved, I was too young, so the influence to do the wrong thing was so strong. I just stopped doing hair completely for a few years and just focused on my Christian walk, my Christian walk, my Christian walk, and alienated that part of my life, and I didn't have a balance. So anytime a Cornelius connection would come my way, I would dismiss it because I didn't want to be pulled away from ministry or from living a Christian life. So I think I missed a lot of opportunities because I felt that I was just trying to, you know, please God and help myself out. Well, now I'm at the place where, okay, go ahead.
Let me tell you this, Terrell. First of all, you may have missed a lot of opportunities, but that doesn't mean you missed a God opportunity. When God has something for you, he factors in all of that. God factors in your upsets, your setups, your setbacks. He factors in your distractions and manipulations. God factors in all of that so that by the time you hit your point of convergence where your readiness and his provisions and destiny meet, you're going to succeed. So you didn't miss what God needed. You might have missed what other additions or distractions. You got what God wants. You know, the Bible says about Martha and Mary that Mary chose that good part. She chose that part of taking herself off the scene, even risking her sister's anger and disappointment, and sat at Jesus' feet because she felt the most important thing for her to do is to learn him. And so you chose that good part that will not be taken away from you. You have identified very well what your issues were. I was young. I was unlearned in the things of God. I got saved. It still wasn't strong enough. So I just decided to choose that good part, to learn Christ and to learn him thoroughly. But let me give you this piece of wisdom right now. I want to say to you that you need partners. So you need to pray about a partnership. Before you go launching out into the deep with you yourself and your one canoe and your one rod, why don't you find out if there's a partnership of somebody that you can come alongside with your experience, with your wisdom and knowledge and your strength that you can help make it. Think about that rather than trying to do it by yourself. One of the things that concerned me about the church, because we think business is like ministry, you know, we tell everybody, you don't need anybody to tell you about your ministry. You can do your ministry yourself. You don't have to work with anybody. Let so-and-so do theirs and so-and-so do theirs, and hence we got 15 churches on the same street because we don't want to partner up, because it's not about succeeding for us. It's about expressing. It's about being seen. See, we don't want to succeed. We want to be seen as the minister of the hour. Well, you're not going to do that. Smart business people choose partnerships. Smart people know that two is better than one, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. So if you are committed to bringing God both revenue and saved souls, then you're going to find someone that you can partner with. If somebody has a shop, maybe you can come in and do classes. Maybe they want to branch out into a training thing. If that's the case, then maybe you can come in and be a part of that. But here's what I do want you to know. God does not want you on your own right now.
Okay.
That's why you can't get a fix on it. You know, you keep trying to find out where he is. He says you're not ready for that. And also he needs to free you up for some things that you have started with your church that he doesn't want you to drop.
Okay.
So you do need the economy. You're hearing God. You are going to use your teaching and training, but you don't have to do it alone. We don't always have to be a lone ranger. And I will tell you something. The hardest thing to do is to learn how to adjust and adapt to get along with a personality that may or may not be compatible with yours. You know, there are people who are professionally compatible who are socially incompatible with us, who are spiritually incompatible with us, even though they're saved. But you're not looking for that. You're looking for the thing that God wants. And the next development that God wants to give you is the ability to do just that, to make situations work, whether they're pleasant, whether they're not, whether they work to your immediate advantage or not. You find a partner. You find somebody else you can team up with. And, ideally, there would be a what you call a good amicable and symbiotic arrangement. That's an ideal, but understand it's got to be God's choice, because if you do that, then a lot of the threats and a lot of the things that you had to sweat before, you don't have to take on.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have enough to take on. You know, when you take on a business, you take it on a whole dimension of warfare that you don't even imagine until you're in it, which you know. You've done that. So, you know, if you don't have to buy into another warfare, and please don't buy into a business just simply because they need your help. You buy into something that's what God said is right for purpose and success. You need to get something that's right to succeed. Remember I used that phrase, right to succeed. Because sometimes as Christians, we always want to take on ministry projects. This is not something God is asking you to do in this capacity. Do not take on a ministry project. Don't try to help somebody where they're trying hard. No, no, no. You want somebody who is doing it. And who is ready to expand and enlarge, not somebody who wants you to help dig them out of a ditch.
Exactly.
Okay, because I know your heart. You're going to go find somebody. Because, see, but here's why. Here's why we do that as ministers, too, because it gives us more leverage. Well, we're helping you out. We're helping you survive. So it gives us that capacity to call the shot, but that's not a partnership. So I want you to be very thoughtful about how you'll do this in the future. And go after something that's right to succeed, and then make sure that it is the will of God for you. And when you know that it is, do your part. Shoulder your part of the load. You know, be fair and just. Have a just weight in that. That's what I hear God is saying to you on this matter.
Okay.
Hallelujah. So let me pray.
Amen.
Father, thank you in Jesus' name for Terrell, for her forwardness. She's a forward-thinking woman, and I thank you for that. I thank you for helping her hear you with new ears and see you, discern your hand and how you move and how you do things in a fresh way. God, I praise you for ordering her steps so that you can connect her with the right people for her to use her skill, her experience, and her education for your glory, not just in the church and not just in ministry, but in the kingdom. God, I thank you for as you have set her well in the church, set her equally well in the kingdom so that she can prosper and bring forth a harvest to your house and to your ministers. So, God, I thank you for give her peace. And, Lord, I'm asking you to do me a favor on this one. I'm asking that you would expedite this prayer for her, that she will know that it is time for her to get back into the swing of things. And we bless you for doing it, Father, in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, listen, I'm going to see you when I get there.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, and you're going to come up and say, I am Terrell, and I'm going to hug you.
Absolutely.
All right. God bless you, woman of God.
God bless you, too. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, Aztec.
Oh, yes. All right,
how am I doing?
Your last call for the day.
Okay, and who is it?
And this is Patricia calling from California. She's calling for a financial breakthrough and that the joy of the Lord would be her strength.
I know that's right. Hallelujah. Well, hi, Christine. How are you doing?
Good morning.
I'm sorry. You're Patricia.
Patricia. Yes, ma'am. That's okay.
Yeah, I have a sister named Patricia, so I can't forget that. How are you doing, Patricia?
I am wonderful.
And how is California? Is it still sunshiny and beautiful?
California is about 60 degrees right now. It's supposed to get up to about 75. So we're doing pretty good.
Rub it in, why don't you? How can I bless you?
I have, I've been off work since 06, and they diagnosed me with chronic fatigue syndrome, anemia, and they took me off work. And so I did not file for a Social Security disability because I kept on feeling like I'm too young. I want to go back to work. But my doctor wouldn't release me to work. And when I would try to work, I just couldn't make it. I'll be so drained and so tired. So probably for about the last 4 years, I've been getting iron infusions about every 6 to 9 months just to bring my iron levels up. But when I did go to apply for disability, of course, I got declined. I'm trying to talk really fast because I know your time is limited. And but now I'm in my fourth level. I'm in my third level of appeals, and it's been about – well, I think it's four. I know for sure it's 3.5 years now since I originally applied, and I've gone, you know, just through the waiting period. And I'm just praying for a financial breakthrough in that matter. And as I continue to wait, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and I just pray that I do not faint in this season because I feel like I'm at the brink of my breakthrough. I'm just ready to bust through.
Okay. Now, and what are you calling your breakthrough? Getting the finances, getting healed, or what? What are you calling your breakthrough?
I want it all. Okay. I want my finances to be released, and I also, and I that is my declarations every morning that I do. I claim healing, in spite of the symptoms that I still feel and I still walk through at times. But I do. I believe that I am healed. Go ahead.
But let me ask you now. So you've been under a medical doctor's care since 06 for this?
Yes.
What traumatized you? What happened to lead you into this thing? I mean, because usually that's like an overexertion thing or something, isn't it? I'm asking. I don't really know, but I'm asking.
Well, I don't know. I've always had a slight case of anemia. But then I had a surgery, and because I had the gastric bypass surgery in 04, then mm-hmm. they said now, in order, even if I take iron pills, my system won't retain it. And so for that reason, because I can't keep the iron, then it has caused me to go into a higher level of anemia. And along with that, I have hypertension. So the two of those together, it just makes it, you're just really, really drained. But I have kids, so I have to keep moving. I mean, as a mother, as a wife, you you can be sick, but it's like you really can't sit down. So, I have enough strength to go and do what I need to do. But it's just, even if I try to go out and work an outside job outside of the house, I am drained, and I miss work because of just being so fatigued. So.
Well, I understand that. My daughter had that surgery, so I'm very familiar with what you're describing. Here's what I do know, too, and that is talk to you. Sometimes they clash. I don't know. But this is just me as far as what I feel is the wisdom of God. I'm not giving you any kind of medical or clinical advice. I want to say that because, saints confuse it, But I'm thinking also you might have – I want to ask you, have you talked to included like some sort of nutritionist or holistic doctor in your therapy?
No.
Why don't you pray about that? Ask the Lord and of course, share it with your doctor. He may say no because, sometimes they got this whole competition thing. But
right.
I know that there have been people who have also added that to the therapy, and it's been very helpful. So
okay. All
I can say is pray about that because when it's all said and done, it is about nutrition,
Yes.
When it's all said and done, that's what we're talking about. So I would say that to you. Out the gate. The other thing is I'm going to pray for you to get your breakthrough because you do need the economy. Obviously, that's it. But you might want to think about what you can do from your home as far as bringing in additional income, whether it's an internet-based job or consulting or advising, even teaching online. There are a host of teaching opportunities. I always tell my members and my team today, I say, if you want to make money in today's world, it is very easy to do it. If you don't make it, it's probably because you haven't tapped the vein or you don't want to make it because
and I have.
Because you're intelligent. It's clear you're intelligent. It's clear that you're capable.
I have. And, I have been a foster parent for the last 10 years in my community, and I went from being a foster parent to children to a foster parent for adults. I'm so burnt out. And my last client that I had was an adult, and she had been with me for 9 years, and she totally lied on me because she got a new boyfriend. So it has been so much deception. Right now, I'm thinking, okay, I need a break. So she basically has moved out probably within the last 30 days, and so there is another income break too. But I have a networking business that I do as well. So I am working from home.
Have you thought about doing some sort of training things as well?
No, ma'am.
Well, pray about that as well because you seem to have enough of a background to work with some sort of organization. Maybe you can be a preliminary trainer. I mean, there's so many things you can do that don't necessarily have to involve you bringing new people in your life or in your home. But
yes.
I want you to do that. Have you taken my assessment?
No,
I don't
ma'am.
Know if you're, so you're going to do that too because, see, we want to be able to help you on purpose, Not
amen.
Just the 30-second word. We want to help you on purpose, in your purpose. And so I want to do that. So let me pray because, we do have to wrap it up. But I'm telling you right now, I can speak by the Spirit of grace, you are turning the corner on many, many things in your life. You are at a turning point. You have, I see you waking up in the middle of the night. I don't know whether it was recent or a little bit back, and you can hardly breathe because you're so worn out and you're trying to reach up to get up out of your bed. And God spoke to you a word that night that this was coming to an end, that shortly this is going to be over. And I'm telling you, you're coming up on that day for that word to be fulfilled in your life. So don't let go and don't give up. But also press God for a deeper visitation. That's what he wants you to have with him, a deeper visitation, because he said there are some things that he wants to let you know that he can get you into a better alignment with his destiny for you, but his call on your life and his purpose for you and your children, because a lot of this has to do with your kids. So God wants you to get a better alignment with him on their purpose and your involvement and your custody of their life, your oversight of their life. That's the one thing I will say. But you are coming to the end of this. You can actually breathe a sigh of relief because God is ready to bring you out of this. Isn't that good to know?
Amen.
Amen. Father, thank you so much for Patricia. I thank you, Lord, for her healing. The first thing I'm asking you to do, God, is to go in and to reverse the ravages of the enemy in her body. God, I thank you for literally healing her bloodstream, for doing a work in her bloodstream. Lord, I thank you. I see you right now breathing fresh air, fresh oxygen in her blood. And I thank you, God, for continuing to do so. And, Lord, I'm asking that you would have mercy and compassion on this, your child. And, Lord, cause her to get her life back, to get her strength back. God, I thank you for delivering her from this prison house of infirmity and, Lord, giving her her liberty one more time to step out, to wake up in the morning with being able to take full air in her lungs and full breath in her lungs and to get out of the bed with a renewed vim and vigor and a new renovation of her life. God, I thank you for doing it. I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, as the sovereign of sovereign, to be the authority that overrides the human authorities that are binding up and holding back her funds, God. I'm asking you to intervene by your spirit and to go and release this and to do it as the King of Glory, as he who owns and controls heaven and earth. God, we loose her funds. We release her finances. We expedite the paperwork and the process that she can get what she needs to pick up and get started again. And then, Lord, I'm asking you to do one last thing for her. I'm asking, God, that you would bless her to know your fatherhood. Lord, to know the kiss on the cheek from a father who says, I love you and I approve of you, and that you're going to take her by the hand from this day forward and walk her through these things, God. I thank you for right now causing her to shed every emotional, every historical thing that has been strangling her, even strangling her life's blood. I'm asking that you would deliver her from it, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we will give you the glory, and we will praise you for it, Father. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Apostle.
Oh, you're very welcome. Keep me posted, okay?
Amen. Bless you.
Bless you, too. Hallelujah. Ashley.
Yes?
Well, we had a busy day today, didn't we?
That's right, and the day's just getting started because we have to hit the road.
I know. Isn't that amazing? But don't you
yes,
love technology?
I'm excited. I'm excited.
I am, too. I'm excited about being there in Joliet with Apostle Nona Parker. I'm excited about this weekend. They've got a great weekend planned for us. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to my family in Chicago, wherever you are, or in the Chicago area, to just, you know, come in and connect, and let's just get to know each other. I thank you all for joining me again on another Thursday. As I said, in a couple of weeks, we're going to expand this, and you're going to appreciate it. We'll be able to take more calls, get more information, get a little more involved. I want to bond with you all, and I want to connect with you, and I want you to hold me up in prayer as I hold you up in prayer. And by all means, tell your friends to go to Blog Talk and to find the Paula Price Show and to listen to these shows and the archives that I have up there. And most importantly, I pray that the Word of God is fulfilled in each and every one of your lives. Know that I love you dearly, and I look forward to the next time we get together. God bless you. All right, Ashley, how about you give them those final notes?
All right. Well, we're going to sign off today with the announcement about how you can find Dr. Price in the Chicago area. Because if you're from Chicago, we know flooding isn't going to stop you. Snow isn't going to stop you. Nothing is going to slow you down from reaching the apostle and reaching the word of the Lord for this hour. And so we're going to play out with that. As always, go to drpaulaprice.com. Find out how to invest and back the Paula Price Show. Go into Dr. Price's life, our Tulsa Prophetic Forum. Our schedule is filling up. The Apostolic Summit is in November. We will have announcements about that soon, so you know. But the forum is coming up in June. All that information, once again, is on drpaulaprice.com. And so we love you, and we will hear you on the call next week.
You are invited to join Dr. Paula Price in the Chicago area April 19th and 21st at Antioch Christian Assembly, where she will be celebrating Presiding Apostle Nona Parker in honor of her 13 years in ministry. That's Friday, April 19th at 7 p.m. and Sunday, April 21st at 2 p.m. For more information, contact Antioch Christian Assembly International at 815-727-0122 or email info@antiochcaci.org. Thank you for joining us on the Paula Price Show. If you would like to attend one of Dr. Price's upcoming events, book her for your own event, purchase products, or take a ministry assessment, visit us online at www.drpaulaprice.com or by phone at 877-419-1299. If you like what you heard today, become a Paula Price Show supporter for just $15 per month. That number again is 877-419-1299 or visit us online at www.drpaulaprice.com.